Morning. Again, I want to encourage you to sign up for a Journey small group. This is the highlight of the year for us when we take this instance, it's 5 weeks, and we're going to be joining together with a bunch of other Vineyard churches, all looking at the same things each week, and the youth and the adults and everybody is all going to be on the same topic, small groups, etc. And so usually God does some really exciting things during this time of the year, so I want to encourage you to be involved in that. When I was in high school, my parents were divorced, and I lived with my mom near Chicago. But my dad had a farm in Anago, Wisconsin, which is northern Wisconsin. So during the summers, a couple times I went up there and I worked on the farm. And, you know, sometimes it was fun, like when I got to drive the tractors. Sometimes it was miserable, like when I was picking rocks out of the field. But being on the farm all summer, I'd hear my dad talk about all the problems of farming and the pests and the freezes and the droughts and the floods and all that. But also, especially the costs of farming, the energy costs, land costs, equipment costs, the labor costs. But, you know, I can't ever remember him complaining about the cost of seed. And I realized later the reason for that. My dad looked at his equipment as an expense, you know, because he knew that his tractors and equipment were going to depreciate and break down at some point. He looked at fuel as an expense. He looked at labor as an expense, although he didn't pay me very much, so that was probably a small expense. But in his mind, seed was not an expense. It was an investment. He knew that his tractors would depreciate, his fuel would be consumed, his labor would be expended, but seed was fundamentally different. Because seed, once planted, doesn't depreciate or deteriorate or evaporate. It does just the opposite. It multiplies. It brought a return greater than itself. Hopefully a return large enough to cover the cost of all the tractors and the fuel and the labor. Hopefully a return large enough to bring a profit. But money paid for seed is not an expense. It's an investment. Undoubtedly your most important investment as a farmer. What's the point? What do you think God tells us that you and I should think about the money that we give to Him? God says, don't view giving to me as a debt you owe, but as a seed you sow. Don't view giving to me as a debt you owe, but as a seed you sow. This morning I want to talk about what the Bible says about sowing and reaping. But I have to make a disclaimer first, because all of us have probably been surfing through the TV channels, and we come across the TV preacher, right? And of course, he's got the puffy hair, and maybe he's wearing a white suit that you wouldn't be caught dead in, and he's got the Rolex on. And what is he always talking about? Money, right? I suppose he does have to make payments on his Cadillac, but he's always talking about money, and usually he talks about sowing and reaping, right? He says, oh, you sow into my ministry, send off your check today, and then, you know, God will make you rich and you can have a Cadillac like me. When I see that, very honestly, it makes me want to throw up. You know, that is the one time when I honestly get embarrassed to be a pastor, because I see those guys, and it's because there's a spirit of manipulation. You know, he's trying to take the Word of God and the truths of God and turn them into a scheme to get rich. But it's all manipulation, and nobody likes to be manipulated, right? But the truth is that the principles of sowing and reaping are very biblical, and they're absolutely true. Just because some cheesy TV preacher tries to turn them into a scheme to get rich doesn't mean that the Scripture is wrong. And so this morning I want to talk about these principles of sowing and reaping, but I want to do it with integrity and without manipulation. We're going to talk today about 7 laws of sowing and reaping. The first law that we find in the Bible is that if you sow, you will always have a harvest. If you don't, you won't. 2 Corinthians 9:6 says, remember this, Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Now, when a farmer looks out at his empty field in the spring, he knows, if I don't get a harvest, I'm going to go bankrupt. But he doesn't worry and complain about it. He doesn't say, oh no, what am I going to do about my poor field that's empty? What am I going to do? No, he doesn't worry. He goes out and he starts sowing and planting some seed. Now, if he's only got a little bit of seed, then he has a choice. I can either keep this seed and hold on to it and hoard it, or I can give it away by putting it in the ground. Now, if he holds on to it, that's all he's got. But if he gives it away, it is multiplied back to him. Matthew 25:29, Jesus says, to those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. This is the person who sows the seed. It multiplies, and he has an abundance. Jesus goes on, but from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. This is the person who holds on tightly to the seed. They don't sow it. They don't produce anymore. And so very quickly, it's gone. What little they had is gone. It's the principle. What you keep is all you have. What you give, God multiplies. Let me say that one more time. What you keep is all you have. What you give, God multiplies. Now, when a farmer looks at a seed, does he really say, you know, I like this seed. I like having lots of seed. And I don't want to put my seed in the ground because, you know, then I won't have as much seed anymore. And I don't want to give it away by putting it in the ground. And besides, there's other people out there who have a whole lot more seed than I do. And they can put their seed in the ground, but I'm going to hold on tightly to my seed. Now, that would be pretty silly, wouldn't it? That's not what farmers do. They understand when you plant your seed, it's an investment because a harvest is coming. And they're going to get a whole lot more from that harvest than they ever would from holding on to the seed, right? What you keep is all you have. What you give, God multiplies. God wants us to understand that when we give our tithe, our 10% of the income that the Bible talks about, then we are planting seeds, and there will be a harvest. I got a note from a family in our church who were having some real financial difficulties. I get these kind of things all the time. This is just the last one I got. They decided to start tithing, even though they were extremely short of money, not enough to pay the bills. And I'll read you part of it. Monday, a lady came in my office and handed me some money and said, I've been needing to give you this, and left quickly. I opened up the folded cash, and it was the exact amount for our utility bill due this week. You know, those kind of things happen all the time when people obey God and give to Him first. And of course, this family was very excited, but they were learning that the seed you sow is an investment. It's not a debt you owe or an obligation. It's an investment that one day will bring a harvest. God will make sure of that. But he also says that if we don't plant seed, then there will be no harvest, no investment, no return. So the first law is that if you sow, you will have a harvest. If you don't, you won't. The second law is that you reap the same kind of seed that you sow. And this should be obvious. If you plant corn seed, you're not going to get wheat. If you plant pears, you're not going to get oranges. If you plant tomatoes, you're not going to get onions. You reap the same kind of seed that you sow. And this is important because this principle of sowing and reaping actually applies to all areas of life, not just to finances. Galatians 6:7 says, people reap what they sow. Those who sow to please their sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. Those who sow to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good. Now, most of the sowing and reaping scriptures in the Bible actually do refer to money, but this one shows that the laws of sowing and reaping actually apply to all areas of life. He's saying you can choose to do things that will please only your own sinful nature, Or you can choose to do things that please the Spirit by doing good for others. But either way, you reap what you sow. And this is true of all areas of life. If you sow criticism, you will reap criticism from others. If you sow kindness to people, you're going to reap kindness from others. If you sow seeds of love, you'll reap love. If you sow seeds of hate, you'll get hate back. If you invest time developing friendships, you will reap friendships. If you sow seeds of gossip or dishonesty or deceit, you'll get those things back in your life. Whatever you reap, you sow, and you reap the same kind of seed that you sow. That's why kids grow up with so many of the character traits of their parents. There's a reason for that old saying that the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Why? Because the parents have been sowing those apple seeds for years and years. And eventually, they reap a harvest, whether it's good fruit or bad. Whatever I sow, I'm going to reap in life. If I sow generously financially, then I will reap generously financially. The third law is that you always reap later than you sow. You don't have to be around a farm too long to realize that whether it's growth or decay, those things take time. You plant in one season and you harvest in the next. And this is also true of all areas of life, whether it's marriage or kids, friendship, your career, or your health. You plant in one season, you harvest later. In fact, you may continue to reap a harvest for years and years, or maybe for the rest of your life, because the seed continues to multiply. But think about your health. If you sow seeds of exercise and proper eating and weight loss, does it just benefit you this year? No. It continues to benefit you for the rest of your life. You're planting seeds and you reap what you sow, but you always reap later than you sow. The harvest doesn't happen instantly. Galatians 6:9 says, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." At the proper time, not instantly. And every gardener and farmer understands this principle that you reap later than you sow. There's an interval of waiting required. Most of the seed that farmers plant generally takes 4 to 6 months to reap a harvest. And the farmers don't plant their seed and then 4 to 6 days later they're saying, "Where is that harvest? You know, I'm tired of waiting. It's already been, you know, 6 days." What? No, they don't do that. They understand that seed takes time to grow. Now let's apply this to us. Say you decide to plant some seed, you start to tithe. Don't get impatient if you don't see the harvest in 4 to 6 days. You might see it that quickly. Sometimes you do. But it might be weeks or months because that seed is still growing. Farmers don't get impatient in 4 to 6 days or weeks when they know a harvest takes 4 to 6 months. And for those of us who are in a financial mess, we didn't get into our financial mess in 1 month, and God generally doesn't, you know, get us out of it in 1 month just because we start to sow seeds. You know, it takes time. The harvest takes a while to come in. And that means that after you start to sow seed, don't give up. Stay consistent with your giving. Be obedient. Keep your faith in place. Just trust God. He will bring the harvest at the proper time. What God promises, he will deliver. James 5:7 says, "See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm." The farmer is patient because he knows if he simply waits, the harvest will come in, no doubt about it. And we can have the same attitude. We know that if we're sowing seed, God will bring the harvest at the proper time. The fourth law is that you always reap in proportion to what you sow. In proportion means you sow a little seed, you get a little harvest. If you sow a lot of seed, you get a big harvest. 2 Corinthians 9:6 says, "Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously." Now, when it comes time to plant in the spring, does the farmer look at his field and say, "Well, you know, this has been sort of a, a hard year. Things are a little tight. And, you know, I had a car repair that I didn't expect. And I haven't saved very much for my vacation in Florida next year. And so things are a little tighter than I thought. I think I'm going to plant less seed this year. You know, and I was going to plant 500 acres. I think I'm just going to plant 100 acres this year because things are a little tight. Well, no, that would be sort of foolish if they did that, right? Because if it's tight now, the farmer ain't seen nothing yet, because next fall when he gets this puny harvest from only 100 acres, then he's really going to be in trouble. And it works the same with our giving to God. If you're feeling tight, that is not the time to stop sowing seed. Because if you stop sowing now, then, you know, when harvest time comes, there's going to be nothing there. Luke 6:38 says, "For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. You reap in proportion to what you sow." The fifth law of sowing and reaping is we always reap more than we sow. And 2 Corinthians 9:10 says, "Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed." Obviously, every farmer knows you have to sow if you want to reap. They also know that they will reap far more than they sow. If you plant 2 bushels of wheat, are you going to get 2 bushels of wheat back? No. If you did, you'd be out of business after one season. No, if you plant 2 bushels of wheat, farmers know on average they can expect about 67 bushels back. If you plant 3 bushels of oats, you'll harvest on average 79 bushels of oats back. If you plant 7.5 pounds of corn, on average you'll reap 120 bushels of corn. You know, I still remember the first time that Kathy and I planted a garden when we first bought our house we were in. We went to the garden store and we're looking at the tomato plants. I asked Kathy, you know, how many tomato plants do you think we should get? She says, I don't know. We both really like tomatoes. We wanted to have a lot of tomatoes, and yet these little plants, they look so wimpy and like they wouldn't produce a whole lot. And so I said, you know, we better get maybe like 20 of these or we might not have any tomatoes at all. And you probably planted tomatoes, so you know what's coming. We didn't know. We canned tomatoes. We froze tomatoes. We gave tomatoes away. We made salsa. We threw tomatoes at the neighbor's dog. And we still had tomatoes coming out of our ears. And we learned this principle that you reap a lot more than you sow. It's one of the laws of sowing and reaping that every farmer understands. And it works exactly the same when we give to God. In fact, almost every time in the Bible where God tells us to give the first part of our income back to Him, almost every time He adds a promise. He says, if you do that, I'll reward you. I will make it more than worth your while. I'll bring an increase. I'll multiply it back to you. Let's continue reading that scripture we were reading in 2 Corinthians. It says, "Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed, and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God." So God promises to reward us when we give. And notice God's promise here. You'll be made rich in every way. For what purpose? Oh, it's so I can get a bigger house and nicer, newer cars and spend more on myself. No, that's not actually what it says. So that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us, your generosity will result in what? In thanksgiving to God. There's a reason that God rewards our giving. There's a reason that you reap more than you sow when you give to God. There's a reason for His promises, and it's not so you can get more stuff and be more selfish. God's purpose in rewarding us is so that we can receive those blessings and then use them to be a blessing to everybody around us, so that the world will give thanks to God for us, for our generosity. That's why God gives you back more than you sow. That's why He blesses you financially. Let me give you some other examples of this from Scripture. You've heard all these verses, but they all relate to how you reap more than you sow. Proverbs 3:9, "Honor the Lord with your wealth, with With the first fruits of all your crops, then your barns will be filled overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. Malachi 3:10, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. Jesus says in Luke 6:38, give and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. And I could go on reading more and more verses over and over again in the Bible. We see this law stated, the law of sowing and reaping, we always reap more than we sow. And again, it's the principle, what you keep is all you have. What you give, God multiplies. The sixth law of sowing and reaping. Boy, I can't clear my throat today. The sixth law is that you may sow secretly, but the harvest is viewed by all. Matthew 6:3, it says, when you give to charity, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your deeds of charity may be in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. If you drive through the countryside in August, you can look out and see these huge fields of 6 foot tall corn, or maybe it's soybeans or whatever crop out there, but you look out these huge fields and you say, whoa, that's going to be a huge harvest. But you know, I don't think that I've ever driven through fields in springtime and seen farmers planting seed. If I did, I didn't know it. You know, I might see them on a tractor and not know that's what they're doing. But unless you happen to drive through the right day and you know exactly what they're doing, you would never see farmers plant their seed. It's sort of like it's done in secret. That is a law of life. When we look at the people around us, rarely do we see all of the work and sweat and tears that a person has labored and sacrificed for in order to plant seed. We don't see that part, but we can all see the harvest. Sometimes when we look around, we're asking, you know, how come that person is getting blessed so much? You know, not only financial blessings, but also in, you know, their life is full of peace and joy and fruitfulness. Look at the way God is blessing them. God, why aren't you blessing me like that? You know, why don't I see those kind of... It's not fair. Don't you love me as much as you? I've been a Christian just as long as they have. Why are you blessing them so much and you're not blessing me? What is the deal? Well, let me say this. First of all, there are never easy answers for that question, why somebody else seems to be getting blessed more than me. And sometimes other people look good on the outside, but when you look deeper, they're not quite as blessed as it really seems. But if they truly are being blessed by God, then at least one of the reasons behind it is that they have been planting seeds. We don't usually see that. We see the way they're getting blessed today. We see the harvest. Everybody sees that. But we don't see the years of cultivating and sowing and cultivating again and sowing some more. And we don't see those years of sowing seed that brought them to the place that they're at today. Everybody sees the harvest. That's obvious for everyone to see. But nobody sees the sacrifice of sowing seeds week after week, month after month. And the sacrifice when nobody else is watching. Finally, the seventh law of the harvest. You are responsible to sow. God is responsible for the harvest. Mark 4:26. This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come. Now, the point is that the farmer doesn't know how to make that seed grow. He can't make that seed grow. He doesn't know how. Notice the words, he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces the grain. The farmer does not make the seed grow. He doesn't even know how it works. He just knows if he sticks in the ground, adds some water, and you know, keeps the weeds away, he's going to end up with a huge harvest. Same thing with our finances. We sow the seed, But then God is responsible for multiplying it. And we don't know, even know how he could do that. It seems impossible to us. We don't understand how we could give money away and then God brings a greater harvest back into our lives and we end up with more. You know, it doesn't make sense to us. Don't try to explain that to your accountant. It won't work. But God runs the whole universe and he has 1,000 ways of blessing our finances that we have never even thought of. 1,000 ways to bring in the harvest. He controls everything so he can increase my income, or he can get me a raise or a bonus. He can bless me by decreasing my expenses, or maybe by giving me an inheritance or an unexpected gift. He can bless me by protecting my possessions so my car doesn't break down or the pipes don't freeze or the washing machine keeps going. You know, there's 1,000 ways. In fact, everything on that list I just mentioned has happened in my life, plus 100 more. There's 1,000 ways that God can bring in the harvest in our lives. Deuteronomy 15:10 says, "Give generously to him and do so without a grudging heart. Then because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in everything you put your hand to." Notice the words, all your work and in everything you put your hand to. He blesses it all if we do what? Give generously. So those are the 7 laws of sowing and reaping. If you sow, you'll have a harvest. If you don't, you won't. You reap the same kind of seed you sow. You reap later than you sow. You always reap in proportion to what you sow. You reap more than you sow. You may sow secretly, but the harvest is viewed by many, and you are responsible to sow. God is responsible for the harvest. Now, a couple quick things. Please understand that we are not promoting in this church a give more to get more mentality. As I said earlier, there's an illness in Christianity. You see it promoted on television shows, and it feeds on people's greed. It's the kind of mentality where a preacher says, you know, give into my ministry and God will make you rich. Let me tell you, if you are coming to God with the motivation to get rich, then you don't know the first thing about God. Because God left the riches of heaven, came to earth as a poor baby with nothing, spent most of his time here on earth hanging around with poor people. And so God does not want his children coming to him just for his money. That is so against what God is like. That's the first thing I want you to remember. The other important thing I want to say is that the laws of sowing and reaping are not a shortcut. Some people try to treat it that way. They're struggling financially, and they don't want to do the hard work of preparing a budget and living within their means and getting out of debt and all the other things that the Bible tells us that we need to do. You know, that's too hard. They don't want to do that, and so they try and make this a shortcut. God is not going to bless your finances if at the same time you are foolish in the way you're managing your finances. And so for those of you who are struggling financially right now, here's some good advice. Dave Ramsey is the best known financial expert in the Christian world today. We're going to look at what he has to say about managing your finances, a short video. Let's go ahead and start that.
Oh, that's it. Oh, yeah. More important, change your
I've told the story before how I left the Navy. I went back to business school full-time to get an MBA. And our daughter Carol was only 2 months old at the time, so Kathy couldn't work. And so our only income was from the Navy Reserve. I went one weekend a month, and I earned $300 a month. That was our total income, $300 a month. Now, we had always tithed faithfully to the church, but now our total income plunged to $300 a month, and I'm thinking, you know, should I really, you know, give 10% off the top of that, because there's going to be almost nothing left, and that's all I've got. And I started thinking about it, and the thought occurred to me, well, you know, the Bible doesn't ever say that if you make a bunch, then go ahead and tithe, but if you make peanuts, then don't. So I said, you know, I'm just going to keep on going what I've always done. I'm going to keep tithing, sowing seed, and so I did. Well, the harvest took 9 months. From September until May, I was sowing my 10%. Then at the end of May, I landed a summer intern job at a GE satellite company in New Jersey. That in itself was a big blessing, just to have that job for the summer. But that was just the start. I started the next week. I'd been there a couple weeks in the marketing department when one day, the CEO of the company is in a staff meeting with his executives. One of them mentions that they hired this summer intern who went to the Naval Academy. The CEO stops the meeting, sends somebody to get me, leaves all of his executives waiting there in the conference room, takes me into his office, and starts asking me about my Navy experience. It turns out that he had gone to the Naval Academy about 10 years before me. And to make a long story short, he ended up giving me a better job and a huge pay increase. Now, you may say that sounds like a coincidence. To me, that sounds like harvest. And I'll tell you what, that was the best harvest I ever got because I was really short on seed at the time. You see, Kathy and I were so short of money, we were so desperate that we wanted to make sure God was involved with our financial affairs. We needed his blessing. So we decided there was one person that we would never not pay, and that was God. You see, when you hold on to your seed, that's all you got. But if you give it away, God multiplies it. And Kathy and I love God's laws of sowing and reaping. We've been using those for 30 years, and God has been blessing our finances. You know, Dave Ramsey talks about the baby steps. I've got to all except the last one. Paid off the house years ago, paid for my kids to go to college, and no debt, paid cash. The only one I haven't done is become really rich, which he says in the last step. I'm not sure that I'll get to that one. But you know what? God has blessed our finances so much. I'm sure I make a lot less than many of you do. And, you know, we just have been blessed. And I promise you, if you take God at His word and follow His laws of sowing and reaping, you know what you're going to find? You're going to find that God is bringing blessings in amazing ways, in ways that will make you say, why did I wait until I was 25? Or why did I wait until I was 35, 45, 55? Why did I wait to start sowing and to experience God's harvest? Let's stand for prayer. I'd like the worship band to come up for a closing song. Let's bow together. Heavenly Father, I pray for all of us here now that you will cause your provisions and your blessing to be upon us, and that you'll give us your spirit of generosity so that we'll be able to have your heart toward our resources, our money, our time, our energy, all the areas of our lives. Help us to be generous with it all, knowing that we will reap a harvest of much more than we can give away. And thank you, Heavenly Father, that you've promised to meet all of our needs, and that you've put in place these laws of sowing and reaping. And we know that now it's up to us to decide if we'll follow the directions that you've laid out. Thank you, God, so much. Thank you that you never fail in a promise that you've made, that you are trustworthy. And I pray that today many of us will trust you and start receiving the great harvest that you have in store for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.